The Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, you are with today's special. Dear brothers and sisters, peace and salutations be upon all of you, dear friends. And thousands of congratulations on birthday anniversary of the last Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and also birthday anniversary of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Accept our congratulations on this great eve.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Tuesday, is the 17th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. With thousands of congratulations on birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad and Imam Sadiq, we open today's special. The situation in pre-Islamic Arabia. The pre-Islamic Arabia gods and goddesses were viewed as protectors, their spirits being associated with sacred trees, stones, springs, and wells. Monotheistic communities existed in Arabia, including Christians and Jews. Hanifs, negative pre-Islamic Arabs who professed a rigid monotheism, are also sometimes listed alongside Jews and Christians. Hanafis, native pre-Islamic Arabs who professed a rigid monotheism, are also sometimes listed alongside Jews and Christians. Prophet Muhammad himself was a Hanif and one of the descendants of Prophet Ismail, son of Abraham. Islam was not a private and individual matter, but the total response of the need of the society. Prophet Muhammad was responding not only to the religious and intellectual aspects, but also to the economic, social, and political pressures to which contemporary Mecca was subject. Islamic social changes in areas such as social security, family structure, slavery, and the rights of women and children improved on the Arab society. Prophet Muhammad's message transformed society and moral orders of life. Society focused on the changes to perceived identity, worldview, and the hierarchy of values. Economic reforms addressed the plight of the poor, which was becoming an issue in pre-Islamic Mecca. The Quran requires payment of an alms tax, that means zakat, for the benefit of the poor. Dear brothers and sisters from all over the world, accept our congratulations on birthday anniversary of the last Prophet of Allah and Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the great moral dispositions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his steadfastness and his belief. Regarding the steadfastness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his conviction or firm belief, we find that since he was a divine prophet and he was sure that his religion was in favor of mankind, and the ultimate aim of his religion was leading mankind from darkness to light, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never abstained from his teachings. He never stopped guiding people to the right path. In contrast to this prophetly behavior and disposition, we find that in contrast to this, politicians from time to time may show off that they've stopped the activities, or for example they have withdrew from the standpoints. Yet in the case of the divine prophets in general, and particularly in the case of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that It wasn't in such a way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stop his career and mission. In return to this fastness and firm belief and real conviction, Abu Talib went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and assured him of his sincere support, and it was a kind of support that Abu Talib showed up to the end of his life.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحاضري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا
The birth of the Prophet. Celebrating the birth of the Prophet is a form of celebrating him and is an act that is absolutely established according to the Sharia, as it is an act you rely on so as not to fall into error. God has made known to the world the rank of his Prophet, so he made known to the entire existence his name, his prophetic commission, his spiritual rank, and his place with him. Therefore, the universe is in constant happiness and absolute bliss as a result of the light of God, His relief, His proof, and His blessing to the world. The basis for the celebrating the birth of the Messenger of God is recommended act of drawing nearer to God, as His birth is the greatest blessing upon us, and the Sharia has commanded us to express thanks to Allah for His blessings upon us. In this month, God has blessed us with the greatest of the first and the last. Therefore, it is proper that there be an increase in good works, acts, and devotion, and thanksgiving for what Allah has given us. We offer our congratulations on birthday anniversary of the last Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and Imam Sadiq. عليه السلام
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة عليه الصلاة
Dear friend, in this part I have a narration about the Holy Prophet. It is narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam has said about the Prophet, he was reserved with his tongue except for what was important to him. He would inquire about his companions and he would bring them close. He would never sit and stand without speaking of God. Whenever someone requested a favor from him, he would not turn him away, empty-handed, or whatever was available, or without giving kind words of advice. He accommodated people with his great moral manners. He was always cheerful, friendly, and tolerate. Not harsh, would not laugh loudly, was not obstinate, did not find faults. Would not flatter, nor would he interrupt someone speaking until they finished by standing up to leave or stopping them. From me and my colleague's side, we offer our congratulations on birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad and Imam Sadiq, peace be upon them.
Mustafa, أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين
A narration about the sixth Imam. Malik ibn Anas, the jurist of Medina, is reported to have said, I used to go to visit Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq, peace be upon him. He was a man always disposed to one of three states. Either he was fasting, praying, or engaged in Allah's remembrance. He was among the greatest worshippers, the greatest of the abstaining people who fear God. He narrated many prophetic traditions, was sociable and friendly to sit with, and had much for us to benefit from.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
The Muslims are brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُخْوَةِ Allah, because of being Muslim, because of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you have become brothers. There were people during the time, the early stages of the religion of Islam, and until today there are people causing fitna for the Muslims. The religion of Islam was a young religion. There were spies. There were groups of people that would go between the Muslims and tell this person has said this about you. This person said that about you. Just like we see today. People coming and lying. Those are the ones who caused fitna.
Full of compassion. Kindness in our hearts. When all the fun starts. Exhilaration. Smiles everywhere, delight in the air, jolly vacation.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special on 17th of Rabiul Awwal 1442. Again, accept our congratulations in this great even day. Have a nice time.
Lost and hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen, blessed prophets Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad, ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad, ya Habib Allah, Muhammad, ya Nabi.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to you all on the blessed birthday anniversary of the Seal of Messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The day also happens to be the birth anniversary of the Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him. In honor of this day of double blessings, we have selected for you an enlightened statement from the Prophet of Islam. I was sent by God to complete the best of morals.
¶¶
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. It's a very extremely happy occasion that first and foremost we send our congratulations and felicitations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, and to all the A'imma alayhim as-salam, and to all the scholars and to all the Muslims wherever they may be. This is according to the books of traditions and the Shias and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that this is the day that is the birth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's final light and the final messenger. The final light is the one who is still alive with us, and we are sending our congratulations to that final light on this being the day of the birth of that perfect man, the man who came with the last of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religions, the last religion of salvation, that individual who went through so much in order for us as human beings, you know, to find our path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of role models, the, you know, best of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that as an Eidi, that he does two things on this day. One, is that he hastens the reappearance of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, that we truly can see the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his face. And secondly, that he unites the Muslim Ummah under the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As this week of unity that ends with this birth and this reported date of birth that is accepted by the Shia and the Shia ulama as being authentic, we ask Allah subhanahu to unite our hearts, to bring us together, to bring us closer as one Ummah. On this day of being the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we recite a very beautiful tradition from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I recite the tradition, it is also incumbent upon me to congratulate again all the Muslims, especially Imam al-Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, on this being the day that is reported to be the birth of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth holy Shia Imam. And also a person who our Sunni brothers and sisters also, if they, you know, read a little bit, if they get acquainted with the Ahlul Bayt and Islam, do respect a lot in traditional subcontinental culture, Imam Sadiq has a particular role within the Muslims there. So in this tradition from the Holy Prophet, it is mentioned that the Holy Prophet says that whoever from my community, from my ummah, brings a tradition, that is, brings a hadith, tells people a tradition from me, and this tradition from me is the cause of something good being formulated, something good coming about from it. For example, a person finds a good tradition about the recommended prayer, and he tells people about it. This is something good. The second one is that if this tradition that comes from me, that a person tells in society, is the cause of something that is a bid'ah or innovation to be removed from society, it is incumbent upon this person to enter into paradise. Obviously with the discussion that will follow, we ask Allah again subhanahu wa ta'ala that on this day of the Holy Prophet's birth, to grant us the sight of the Holy Prophet in the face of Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, and also to unite our hearts as Muslims inshaAllah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
birthday of the most excellent person. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Hello everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to you all on one of the most blessed days of the year. Today is the 17th of Rabiul Awwal, the grand day in the history of mankind when God Almighty decided to bring into the world his last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Stay with us for a special program on this auspicious occasion, before start of which we present you Ayah 15 of Surah Al-Ma'idah in the Holy Quran, where God Almighty informs mankind, O people of the book, certainly our prophet has come to you, clarifying for you much of what you used to hide of the book, and excusing many an offense of yours. Certainly there has come to you a light from Allah and a manifest book. A detailed account of the Prophet of Peace is outside the scope of this brief radio program. However, God Almighty says in Ayah 107 of Surah Anbiya in the Holy Quran, you have not been sent but as mercy unto the entire creation. The one and only Creator also says about the best of creation in Ayah 21 of Surah Ahzab in the Holy Quran. In the Prophet of Allah, certainly there is for you an excellent exemplar for those who look forward to Allah and the last day and remember Allah greatly. So in view of these undeniable facts, what can mortals write about this dynamic person who continues to transcend history and all future developments? Historical accounts point out that on the eve of the Prophet's birthday, the idols that the infidel Arabs had installed in Prophet Abraham's edifice of monotheism, the Holy Kaaba, fell headlong. The forces of Jahiliyyah, whether in the Arab Peninsula or elsewhere in the world, witnessed events that heralded the end of the days of ignorance. History also bears witness that the sacred fire of the Zoroastrians that had been kept burning in Persia proper for over 1,000 years suddenly died down, to the horror of the Morbeds. In Ctesiphon, which is modern-day Madain near Baghdad in Iraq, a crack suddenly appeared in the huge arch of the magnificent Hall of Audience of the Sassanid King of Kings. At the same time, 14 parapets came crashing down from atop Khosrow's palace. There were other portents in other parts of the world that are outside the scope of this brief program, in which we intend to point out that none of the ancestors and ancestresses of the persons sent by God as seal of messengers were other than staunchly virtuous monotheists. This is confirmed by all respected scholars of Islam, whether Sunni or Shiite. Thus, it would be repetitive to say that he was born in the monotheistic Bani Hashem clan that was descended from Prophet Ishmael, the firstborn son of that great iconoclast Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was thus the finest example of a perfect man in every sense of the term. He was a paragon of virtue and the most excellent exemplar of the human race. The Almighty distinguished him from all others by instilling in his sublime personality such fine qualities as modesty, truthfulness, kindness, patience, loyalty, honesty, courage, bravery, generosity, magnanimity, wisdom, and the like. By studying his lofty characteristics and the amazing simple lifestyle that he led with his household, daughter, son-in-law, grandsons, companions, wives, and others were able to learn valuable lessons from his conduct and accordingly mold our own lifestyle. Our society could never be an Islamic one unless we sincerely tread the footsteps of Allah's final messenger to mankind, heed his sayings, and emulate his practice and behavior, that is, his sunnah and seerah, as the faithful among his companions did. This means to desist from whatever he had forbidden and obey whatever he had bequeathed to us, especially his last and final public proclamation by the command of God at the memorable gathering of Qadir Khum, of the prime position after him amongst the Muslims of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Entrusted by God with the universal message of Islam, the mission of the Prophet of Peace was to bring hearts closer together and removing differences and doubts, and to help bring the morally sound and peaceful society where everybody, including those that were not yet Muslim and still adherent to what they believed as the ways of the other prophets, should live in peaceful coexistence. His invitation to the people of the book and his debates and accords, for instance, with the Christians of Najran indicate this. The advent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was foretold in the Evangel, the Torah, the book of Isaiah, and the previously revealed heavenly scriptures, as well as in the religious textbooks of the Zoroastrians, the Hindus, and others. Parts of his prophecy is still preserved in spite of the tampering by interlopers that these books have gone through. For instance, in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 15, we read the prophecy to Moses. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, Ishmaelite Arabs, like unto thee, and will put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18, verses 7 to 14, we find the following prophecy of Prophet Jesus. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, is come, he will guide into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. For lack of time, we have to leave out more prophecies from the other heavenly scriptures, as well as texts of non-Abrahamic religions such as Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, and Hinduism, and suffice with what the Holy Quran says in Ayah 6 of Surah Saf. And when Jesus, son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, indeed I am the prophet of Allah to you, to confirm what is before me of the Torah, and to give the good news of a prophet who will come after me, whose name is Ahmad. In view of these facts, it is indeed futile and self-destructive attempt by the godless elements of our times to try to insult the Prophet of Islam through caricatures under pretext of freedom of expression, as is being currently done in France, by those whose fate will indeed be terrible, as God has promised in Ayah 57 of Surah Ahzab in the Holy Quran. Indeed, those who displease Allah and His Prophet have been cursed by Allah in the world and in the hereafter, and He has prepared a humiliating punishment for them. This ayah, which is the distant past, had sealed the fate of some of the most intransigent of the pagan Arabs, who never repented of their disbelief, as per their freewheeling ways of the days of ignorance, continued to mock the messenger of mercy despite the long respite God had granted them, remarkably refers to the impending doom awaiting the godless elites of the present-day Western liberal societies. The timeless wisdom of God's revealed words, as embodied in the last of the heavenly scriptures, are indeed applicable in every era and every place. This explains the Islamophobia tirade to which retarded minds have resorted under lame pretext of freedom of expression, in a vain attempt to distract attention from realities of their own degenerate societies by trying to tarnish the enlightened image of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And of course they will not succeed. Neither the pagan Arabs had succeeded in blotting out Islam by labouring various accusations at the person who changed the destiny of the world, nor did the ever-rebellious Israelites succeed by their hatching of the most intricate plots against him, including armed battles and murderous attempts. As a matter of fact, in trying to ridicule the best of creation, whose visage no caricature can corrode, the Zionists, those slanderers of Jesus and Virgin Mary, who today hold the hapless Christian world as hostage through such devils in human form as Emmanuel Macron and Donald Trump, have exposed the chinks in their own rusted armor, that is, the myth of the Holocaust. Freedom of expression and action is among the basic rights of human beings, but this should not mean hurting the beliefs of anyone, especially since Muslims hold all previous prophets in reverence, and they do not even ridicule the mortals worshipped as deities by the Buddhists and Hindus, such as Buddha and Ram. Thus, in view of these facts, sooner rather than later, the present-day enemies of the Prophet of Islam will meet a terrible fate, since no one can escape divine justice, according to God's promise in ayahs 8 and 9 of Surah Saf. Islam will eventually be the religion of all mankind. They desire to put out the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah shall perfect His light through the faithless, should be averse. It is He who has sent His Prophet with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. We invite you to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First, I would like to congratulate you and all the lovers of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam for the birth anniversary of the Messenger of Allah and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And I hope that throughout the year, but especially in this month, we would take our time to study more about the life and teachings of the Prophet and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and in this way refresh and strengthen our relation with them, inshallah. I want to mention one point, because this discussion is very important and has many dimensions. Just one point. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was given this honor, this tawfiq of receiving Quran? Why Allah gave Quran and sent Quran down to the Prophet? There must be a reason. Allah never does anything arbitrarily. He never treats equals unequally, and He never treats unequals equally. This is the summary. So there is a reason for everything. What was in Rasulullah that Allah found him capable of receiving Quran? And what is Quran? Quran is revelation, but not an ordinary. Although revelation by itself is extraordinary, but among these extraordinary events, which are revelations, Quran is the greatest revelation. As we have in the dua for the night of Mab'ath, night of 27th of Rajab, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka bitajallil a'zam. Quran is the greatest manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest manifestation of Allah is Quran. Why Allah gave this greatest manifestation to the Prophet? Because he had the greatest capacity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember this point from me. If he doesn't give you anything, it's because you don't have capacity. This is the only reason why he doesn't give someone something good. Because he has unlimited treasures of goodness and he wants to give. Thus he's looking for capacity. You need to create more and more capacity and he will fill it. If you have not been given knowledge, hikmah, light, sweetness of ibadah, whatever, it's because you have not utilized your capacity, and second, you have not built more capacity. So the initial capacity has not been utilized and nothing has been added. By utilizing your initial capacity, your capacity can grow. So Rasulullah had the greatest capacity, to the extent that even Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alihi wa salam, with all the love and respect that we have for him, he didn't have that capacity. Otherwise he could be given Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a manifestation to the mount next to Musa, what happened? فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى وَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَائِقًا. When Musa alayhi salam asked Allah to show him himself, رَبَّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ, Allah said, look at the mount. انظر إلى الجبل فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. If the mount remains intact, you can see me. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل, but when Allah made a manifestation to that mount, جعله دكا, the mount was exploded and Musa fell down. Manifestation was done not to Musa, was done to the mount, and he was witnessing that, he couldn't cope with. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If now imagine Quran is sent to a mount, becomes like powder. But how Rasulullah received Quran and Musa couldn't cope with that manifestation? Because capacity is different. But why the capacity of Rasulullah was more? What is there in us that can build capacity, unlimited capacity for us? Servitude, which comes with humility.
Rasulullah was very, very humble. Therefore, he was able to be perfect servant. There is a beautiful hadith. I think, if I am not mistaken, it's from Imam Jawad alayhi salam, but I'm not 100% sure. One of the imams. Imam says that I realized I have become imam because, you know, when the existing imam dies, of course, our imams are normally killed. They didn't die naturally. But anyway, when the existing imam passes away, there is no gap. There is no need for a ceremony or, you know, something to happen so that the next person becomes imam. Automatically, this task, this responsibility, this position is transmitted. It's impossible that leaves previous imam without reaching the next one. There must be no gap. Imam alayhi salam was not with his father. How did he realize that he has become imam? There is hadith which says, I felt such a tadallul, such a great humility in me towards Allah that I had never had before. So to go higher in this ladder is by going higher in humility. Of course, Imam even before that is very humble. But when he becomes Imam is another level. Rasulullah is the most humble person on the earth from beginning of humanity to the end. No one can be more humble than Rasulullah. Therefore, this humility creates capacity. We think, you know, titles give us capacity. We think, you know, position and money and, you know, power gives us capacity. No. What gives you capacity is to purify your heart from all these superficial things and be as humble as you can be. Just reflect the beauty of Allah, the light of Allah, without thinking that you are doing anything. So, because he was the most humble person, Allah chose his heart as a suitable container to send the Quran.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
the ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Within the previous programs, we said how Islam emphasizes on paying attention to the others and how Islam puts utmost importance on praying for the others, praying for 40 believers, giving preference to the others, praying for parents, and of course, naming specifically 40 believers in our prayers, there among them. So we concluded that Islam urges man to deny himself and give preference to the others in the life of this world. But at the same time, and this very Islam that is trying to tell us to pay more attention to the others, it also urges the human beings, the believers, to pray for himself as well. And now the question is, what should we ask for ourselves from the Almighty Allah? How should we actually pray? And this is what we are trying to discuss in this program. We ought to ask Allah in our prayers for whatever we are in need of, whatever is important for us in this world and hereafter, of course.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
We should beseech him to protect us from all the evil that we face in this world and in hereafter, because the keys of good and all its means are in the hands of the Almighty Allah, and nothing can go against his will and his irada, and nor can anything render him unable. And of course, he's not the one who niggardly withholds the good and mercy from his servants. If Allah the Exalted is not miser in giving or responding to his servants, then it seems to be unsound, rather adverse on the part of the servants to show niggardliness in asking from the Almighty Allah and to withhold from praying to him. According to a divine narration,